flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into our Tuesday edition of Sports Talk. We've been talking a little black and gold, hearing from Executive Vice President and GM Mickey Loomis, a few of the words he had to say in yesterday's press conference, wrapping up the season, helping us talk about that and so much more with the Saints. Sideline reporter Jeff Nowak and also our WWL digital content producer spoke to you this morning. Jeff, how you been doing since then?
I've been doing good. How about you, Steve?
Trying to stay warm in the studio here. For some reason, I feel like the AC is cranking in the studios.
Stay warm, stay hydrated. I don't know what else to tell you.
The Saints are staying busy for sure. Got a bunch of interviews lined up coming up soon with more coaching, potential coaching candidates. Had three interviews already with guys, and another name in the mix now to think about for them with Mike McCarthy with the Dallas Cowboys, the latest one. We talked about this a lot on the podcast. Surprisingly, when his name gets brought up, it seems like folks, fans at least, turn their noses up at the idea of a guy like McCarthy in the mix running your team. But when you look at the numbers, it's eerily similar to a guy that everybody loves in Sean Payton. So what to make of that with Mike McCarthy? Is it just the way the guy looks?
It is strange. I think there's a personality element to it. Because, yeah, when you look at Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton's resumes, they're almost identical. Both guys have won 170 games in their career. Both guys were hired in their first head coaching stint in the same season. Sean Payton will tell you he wanted the Packers job, and they've hired Mike McCarthy instead, and he settled for the Saints, and it worked out for both sides. Their careers are that close together. Mike McCarthy now has one more season coaching than Sean because Sean took a year off. It is kind of fascinating, but no one talks about Mike McCarthy in that type of way. We talk about Sean Payton. He's this offensive wizard. He's been so great for so long. You know, of course, he's going to go to Denver and revive that franchise. You don't hear that about Mike McCarthy, despite, you know, he had 3 years in a row with 12-plus wins. 12 wins, exactly, actually. Went to the playoffs. Obviously, the playoff record isn't what you'd want it to be. In year one, it was a down season. Andy Dalton was their leading passer that year, if you recall. This year, another down season. Cooper Rush started half the game. So, you know, in the seasons that you didn't see him have a massive quarterback injury, he was pretty good. But for whatever reason, it's just not been talked about that way for the Saints. So, honestly, that doesn't really matter all that much. It's what the front office thinks. And the interesting thing is in the front office now is Randy Mueller. He was the GM when Mike McCarthy was in New Orleans as the offensive coordinator from 2000 to 2004. And so I don't know if he's the type of guy that's going to bang the table for Mike McCarthy, but there is definitely going to be someone in that room capable of banging the table for Mike McCarthy. So if nothing else, he's a really interesting name to throw on top of the pile for the Saints. I'd fully expect them to interview him. He's probably going to have options. The Bears, you know, initially requested to interview Mike McCarthy. The Cowboys blocked it. Then they move on like a week later. So, you know, the Bears are going to be on the table and they have a really attractive setup. They just picked the number one quarterback in the draft, Caleb Williams. They have $80 million in cap space to do with what they want. They got all those weapons they added last year and didn't really take advantage of. It's definitely an interesting kind of twist in the Saints coaching search, but I fully expect he'll be in the mix.
One thing we heard from Mickey Loomis yesterday talking about is how he feels that this can be a quick rebuild or a rapid turnaround for a team that finished with just 5 wins this past season. We've seen the success now of a team like the Houston Texans being able to vault into the playoffs. Now this year with the Washington Commanders, one thing that stands out with both of them, they got their new young quarterback to help lead the way. Also a new head coach there in both instances as well. is that the formula for success laid out right there? Get a new coach, a new franchise quarterback, and boom, you can get yourself back into the playoff mix?
Well, the coach is a lot easier to do than the quarterback.
Right.
It's a lot easier to be like, oh, yeah, just go draft the best quarterback, hire the best head coach, sure, and you'll be right there. And yes, if that is the formula. I think we can all agree, hire the best coach, draft the best quarterback, and you're going to be a better team. The issue is doing it. And, you know, I appreciate, you know, one thing Mickey made clear in his press conference is that he's always going to be a glass half full guy. He's going to look at the situation from an optimistic perspective and think, how can it get better? Not, oh, darn, look how bad it is, right? That's always going to be how he approaches things. And when you kind of use that lens, you can kind of look at it and interpret what he's saying, right? He's not really saying, hey, this is definitely going to be a one-year turnaround. He's saying, it's happened, guys. Like, let's be real. You can turn things around in one season, but what you have to do in this circumstance is you have to nail the coach hire, you have to make the right decision at quarterback, and you have to nail the draft. That's what they did in 2016 and 2017, and that's kind of what sprung you to that great run of success from 2017 to 2020. People forget about the 2016 draft when they talk about, you know, all of these great draft picks in 2017, but you had Michael Thomas, you had David Onyemata, you had Von Bell. You know, that's a pretty good draft class on top of that 2017 draft. So to me, it's like, we can talk all we want about who's the best coaching hire, who should be the starting quarterback. If you do not hit in the draft and hit at a high rate, you are not going to turn around a roster that just doesn't seem to have enough talent on it right now and doesn't have the cap space to go out and pay for the talent to bring it in. So to me, that's why I look at it and say, hey, we got 9 draft picks here. I want to make at least 7 of them. And, you know, let's see if you can bring in another class that can be that decade-defining group. Because I just think it's going to be hard to see the Saints turning things around with anybody if they can't do that.
Jeff, one of the concerns that was kind of circulating on social media, and I don't really even know where the rumor started, was that whatever coach was going to be brought in would not have like full control over assembling his assistant coaching staff. Mickey put that to bed in the presser, which was nice to hear, where he was asked straight up if, you know, there were any assistants that a new coach would be forced to retain, and he flat out said no. That the new head coach that the Saints will hire will have full control to build their staff, and I think that just makes all the sense in the world. I don't even really know where that rumor initially started, but you know, it was good to hear Mickey kind of put that to bed.
Yeah, I believe it kind of stemmed from the initial reporting that Aaron Glenn was the favorite, and the reason he was the favorite is that he'd probably be willing to retain a lot of the coaches, and Mickey wanted to keep guys like Clint Kubiak around. And here's the thing. Mickey may want to keep Clint Kubiak around. He can still make that suggestion to whatever head coach gets hired. The important thing is not having it be a mandate saying, if you have to keep this guy. And I think the most telling thing he's done is not even necessarily saying that. It's allowing Clint Kubiak to go interview for other offensive coordinator positions, which they could have blocked and chose not to. And the reason you choose not to is you cannot guarantee that guy a job, and it's just not the right thing to do to prevent him from taking another job interview, not being able to guarantee him one on the back end. The Panthers actually did the opposite with Chris Tabor last year, and I called him out for it at the time because I thought it was gross. You know, you fire the head coach, he's the interim. You cannot guarantee he's coming back as special teams coordinator. And so, I think it might have been the Falcons requested to interview him, and the Panthers blocked it. And I can give you 2 guesses on whether Chris Tabor is the special teams coordinator for the Panthers right now. He's not. He actually just interviewed for another job today. So, no, I mean, I think that's the biggest shift. And Mickey also talked about, you know, I do things differently this time around than maybe if I had him to do over again in 22. You know, I'm paraphrasing. I'd probably do him differently. And I would imagine kind of how he approached that initial roster or staff construction where DA kept so many of those former coaches and maybe giving him a little more leeway to do what he's going to allow this next coach to do. But I agree with you. I think that's important. I think whatever coach you bring in needs to be allowed to kind of put his stamp on whatever it is, because at the end of the day, you know, this is not the Sean Payton era anymore. And, you know, I don't think you have to kind of go away from anyone with links to him and say, we cannot hire that person. But you do need to create a scenario where it is not a continuance of the Sean Payton era. It is whoever this coach gets a fresh start and gets to put their own stamp on something.
Jeff, switching up to the NFL playoffs, some of the action from Wild Card Weekend. A lot of the games weren't competitive, but one that certainly was, when you look at the matchup between the Washington Commanders, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and man, oh man, what Jaden Daniels continues to do in his rookie season is so darn impressive. But, you know, you look at the Saints. Might have, could have, would have, you know, been able to be in that shoes of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if they had just won the division. And you look at the what Tampa Bay was not able to do against Washington, and you see a lot of, I guess, good things ahead, like I said, for Jaden Daniels. But that offense, they still seem to have their issues where there's not enough weapons for him to utilize, and I just think that's going to be a big downturn for Washington going forward. I know they take on a tough Lions team their next matchup.
Yeah, I would disagree. I think they have enough weapons in the passing game. They probably need a more dynamic running back than Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler. Like, if you could pair, you know, just think of, like, can you imagine a Saquon Barkley with a Jaden Daniels, right? Like, what a really elite running back and Jaden could do together, I think, is the next step for that offense. But it's rare. You know, when I watched Bo Nix play, I was like, he's not leading this drive. He's not taking him down to score right here. Come on. Like, I just had no confidence. And whether he did it or not, in my heart of hearts, I did not believe he was going to go down and score a touchdown. When Jaden gets the ball in those scenarios, it's like, if it didn't happen, I would be stunned. It's like Mahomes. It's like Brady. You just get that feeling about guys when they're in that situation. And he just has that. And I don't even know how you'd measure it. I don't even know how you – there's a metric for it. It's just belief. And he did. I do think the Bucs played really well in that game, and honestly, it could have gone either way. I do find it – you know, I'm sure there's a lot of coaches out there, a lot of defensive coaches. Dennis Allen used to kind of talk about this, which is like, it's all eye candy. All this moving, all these moving parts and stuff. It's not really doing anything. It's just complicating stuff. And, you know, I think we've all kind of landed on, like, nah, the pre-snap motion is fine. Let's do it. Let's keep that kind of concept going. But then you look at, okay, what cost the Bucs a chance to win a playoff game and go to the divisional round? It was a kind of messed up timing on a weird kind of, you know, jet motion handoff. And there's that fumble down the deep red zone right after a fourth down stop, which was a huge momentum shift. And, like, the reason you lost that game, you could say, is too much complicated motion in the backfield. So I don't know. It's funny because it's all of the rage, but it also cost the team a playoff game. So I don't know. I find that really interesting.
Your thoughts on Marshawn Lattimore's play in that game, Jeff? It was the only competitive game, and we'll look a little bit ahead to the divisional round as well, where I expect a lot more games to be really great. But looking back on the Marshawn Lattimore trade, where the Saints bring back a third, a fourth, and a sixth round pick in 2025, also sending out a fifth round pick alongside Lattimore to Washington. But for, you know, a guy that his entire career has owned Mike Evans, Evans seemed to get the better of him quite a few times in that game. And it just was a little bit curious that, you know, I know that he's dealt with the hamstring issues this year. It's kind of been a chronic thing for him playing a playoff game. But he didn't look like the typical Marshawn Lattimore that we're used to when he's in that matchup against Mike Evans.
Yeah, you know, what I'll say, that the diplomatic thing to say is, I don't think any Saints fans watching that game who were, like, disappointed that Marshawn got traded came away saying, like, what a terrible trade, right? Like, I feel like you look back on the trade itself and it kind of made you feel a little better about it. But I do think that's also unfair. Like, I think Marshawn's dealing with a hamstring injury and he's playing because it's a playoff game. I don't think he was necessarily right in that game. And I think, you know, Baker Mayfield understood that and was going after him. Even when Marshawn was healthy, Baker would go after him in that matchup. And that's one of the biggest differences between Marshawn early against Mike Evans and Marshawn later against Mike Evans, when Mike started to eat on him a little bit, is, you know, when Tom Brady was there, Tom was smart enough to just not throw the ball there at all. He's like, I'm going to the other guy. You know, Jameis was like that too. But, you know, Jameis would throw, he just wouldn't complete it. I don't know. Like, I think Marshawn is still an elite football player. I think he can help. I think he's going to be an asset for the Commanders. He's still playing the playoffs. Mike Evans isn't. So, you know, I'm rooting for him. I hope he does well. I hope he kind of finds that form again. Maybe he's a little rusty. But again, I don't think any Saints fan is that was kind of on the fence is now not leaning toward like, yeah, I, you know, that third round pick sounds pretty good right now.
One I didn't see coming in this wild card round was the Houston Texans being able to take down the Chargers. Now Houston advances, and now they get the number one seed in the Kansas City Chiefs. What are your thoughts on that matchup? Can Houston maybe pull this upset off against Kansas City?
No. I don't think so. I think this is where C.J. Stroud like learns exactly what it takes to kind of beat Pat Mahomes. And yeah, you know, I think this is kind of like the, I think you can kind of see these quarterback, you know, careers going in cycles. Or it was like, that was Lamar Jackson last year, where it's like, I need to learn how to win this game, and you got to lose that game a couple times to learn it. I just think the Chiefs are too good at winning football games. Now, I will say, if the Texans' defensive line gets after Pat Mahomes the way they got after, was it the Chargers? Who did they play?
Yeah.
Bo Nix, the Chargers. I keep
Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, yeah.
Justin Herbert, right. If the defensive line gets after Justin Herbert, Pat Mahomes, the way they did Justin Herbert, they could beat anybody. They were just eating him alive in that game. Derek Stingley is kind of turning into – you know, I was thinking while watching that game, and I know I'm all over the place, that, you know, Derek Stingley feels like the new Lattimore, like a guy who was highly drafted, doesn't talk a lot, no one talks about him. But every time you throw at him, he's just like, nah, no, not today. Because he was a stud in that game, and I think he's been a stud all year. So, you know, he's going to be a fun guy to watch. But I don't think this is the Texans' year.
Take the under. That's what I would say. I mean, yeah. it feels like
I agree with that.
It's going to be down to C.J. Stroud can lead a couple touchdown drives in this game against Steve Spagnuolo's playoff defense, which is few and far between. But at the same time, the Texans have pieces on defense, to your point, Jeff, Daniil Hunter, Will Anderson, Stingley, all these guys, to really kind of make things hard for Mahomes in that offense. I'm looking forward to the matchup, but the real premium matchup of the weekend.
Dun, 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 dun.
I mean, Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson. I know that the MVP's voting has already happened, and we'll see who actually wins it later on. But these are two quarterbacks that are looking to be the man, right? And they have to beat each other first before they get the opportunity to potentially play Pat Mahomes and make it to the Super Bowl. Neither one of them's ever been. I would love to see one of them make it this year. But this is where you kind of siphon it down from one to or from two to one. And so Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, both rushing attacks, I've said a couple times throughout the show, have been fantastic. They were great in the opening wild card round, just blowing their opponents out. And it feels like the one premium matchup of the weekend where, I mean, must-watch TV for any football fan.
Yeah, to me, this is the AFC Championship just happening a round early, right? Like, whoever wins this game is going to be my pick to get to the Super Bowl. No offense to the Chiefs. I don't think they three-peat, right? I just don't think this is their year to win it all. Because you watch these two teams, and they're just a step above. I mean, you watch that Bills-Chiefs game from earlier this season, and the Bills looked like the better team. I've been saying all year that Lamar Jackson, like, this is his year. I just feel like that combo, him and Derrick Henry, like, we thought early on, oh, maybe this isn't going to work. And then, you know, they started to figure it out. And he's just been a beast. I don't know. I just don't think they're going down. I think with both these quarterbacks, and these are the two best examples of it, you know, there's certain guys in the league that you watch them all year long, and they're excellent. They're great. But you know that there's another gear that they haven't tapped into yet. Because once you start playing in games where it's like win at all costs, you're going to do things that you're not going to do in a week five regular season game. Like one of the only times we saw Josh Allen really kind of break it out was, you know, that game against the Chiefs. It was like, we got to go win this game. And so he ran for that touchdown late in the game. And it's like, that's the type of thing that these guys can do on any play, but they kind of rein it in a little bit knowing that, hey, if I get hurt in week 15, the season's over anyway. Like, now you get to this point, and you're going to see all the stops come out. You're going to see Lamar Jackson go nuts on the ground using his legs. So I'm really excited for that game. It's one of these – both these guys kind of have that reputation now. Everyone agrees they're great MVP caliber, but neither of them has been able to say, I am a playoff-winning quarterback. One of those guys is going to kind of shed that, and the other guy is only going to get louder about.
Jeff, thanks for hanging out with me and Charlie talking Saints and some NFL playoffs. We'll be wrapping with you soon.
Sounds good, y'all. Have a good one.
Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer, Jeff Nowak, there.